mistaken, about several years ago, I stood in this pulpit and maybe delivered this lesson. But it is a lesson that I let lay around on my desk quite often. I just want to look at it and think about some of the things that I presented a time or two down during the course of my preaching career. And by way of introduction, the story is told about Thor of Austin, the famous Dutch sculptor. He carved the statue, marble statue of Jesus Christ, and it's channeled thousands and thousands of visitors to Copenhagen to view this work of art. It's been copied, duplicates down through the ages, and they sell for quite a few dollars. The story is told that the Prince of Denmark one winter invited the artist out to his winter palace to spend the winter there. And the artist said, Thor of Austin said, "If I can bring some of my work, I'll be happy to do it." And so the prince said, I'll do more than that. I'll send for it. I'll set you up a studio, and you can work all you want to." And after a few days, a few weeks, after having the story goes that there was a late breakfast, and the artist and the prince were sitting in the window, and there were some little kids outside in the snow, and they wanted some of the prince's clothes, his hat and his long silk tail coat. They wanted to try to make a snowman that looked like the prince. And they were having a hard time, and the story goes that they got frustrated. And the prince turned to the artist and said, "That you're a perfectionist, you know what's going on. Why don't you go out and help to make the snowman?" The artist, Thor of Austin, said, "If you'll sit in the window." He goes out and he begins to work, and he takes the snow and he packs it and he makes a beautiful man. And then he takes his chisel as he gets the head, and he makes a remarkable likeness to the prince. He spent over 3 hours, 3 or 4 or 5 hours out there, he said. And the next day he came down with pneumonia. He was laid up for some 6 weeks. Of course, this was the time before the antibiotics that we might have today for sicknesses like that. And he lost about that much time. Well, on the morrow, when they got up, the snowman that was so beautiful on the day before had become blurred, the faces blurred. It warmed up, and pretty soon the whole pile of snow was gone. And one of the writers of that particular said about that 3 or 4 hours that he spent out there was love labors lost. The artist died some few years later. And the Bible said, the story says that he was working on what would have been his masterpiece if he had only lived just a little bit longer. If he hadn't lost that 6 weeks, the art world might have a masterpiece comparable to the statue of Jesus. There appeared a newspaper, in the newspaper article it said, "The catastrophic event of the century, disaster of the ages, is that Thor of Austin died before he finished what would have been his masterpiece." You see, he worked on a snowman, and the world was robbed of some beautiful art. And as I think about that, I think we too sometimes do the very same thing. We turn aside and we begin to build things that we like. And tomorrow might bring ruination of that. When I read this story, I remember the words of Isaiah. From Isaiah chapter 55, verses 2. Isaiah asked the question, "Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your wages for that which does not satisfy?" You turn to the New Testament in Acts chapter 24, and about verse 25, you hear old Felix talking to Paul. He was trembling when he said, "Go thy way, and I will call for you in a more convenient time." He heard a great sermon on righteousness and temperance and judgment. And he was moved somewhat. But in essence, he was saying, I will call for you later. In the meantime, I'm going to build some snowmen. As far as the Bible record is concerned, the man never had a more convenient time than he had at that particular time. So whatever we're doing, there'll never be any more convenient time than now to save your soul. There'll not be another convenient time than Sunday night, here on July the 2nd, around 5:30, for you to save your soul. Do not go out into this world, my friends, and build snowmen to the point that you'll let these things that are very important in our lives go. Listen to Jesus in Matthew 6 and verse 33. He said, you seek first the kingdom of righteousness and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. The things that I work so hard for, the things that I build snowmen sometime to my own detriment. He said, if you'll just seek me first, and if you'll be true to me, and you be in my kingdom, and you work in my kingdom, don't go to the left or the right and build these snowmen that might melt, and it all be gone. In the meantime, we may lose our souls. The wise man said it here, the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment. Brother Gus Nichols used to say, this is the whole of man, the whole duty of man. The whole of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments. Jesus in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34 began and said, when he had called the people unto him with the disciples, also he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What would it profit you if you're busy here and there building those snowmen and you neglect the saving of your soul? What will it profit you if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? My friends, there are three danger messages in these particular scriptures, and I want to share them with you tonight. The first danger that faces us is mistaken magnitudes. You know that the task of choosing something good and something better is ever before us. There'll always be a Satan under disguise tempting us to build snowmen. And we, like sheep, so many times follow after Satan and follow after his direction. And then, sadly, we come to a point in our lives when we find that tomorrow's sun has left it a blurred blob, just as the snowman of the prince was not long ago. It may be our job. It may be a spouse. It may be a number of things that we neglect, those things that we need to take care of while we're busy out there in the world building snowmen. You know, we follow the path of least resistance. We don't put too much effort sometimes, you know, to go uphill. We hitch our wagon to a star sometimes. We have some great aspirations and great dreams. Then we stop the wagon and we get off when the road gets a little bit too rough. Or maybe we turn aside and see something that looks good to us, something, some interlude. It looks good. It appeals to us. And we lay aside principles and what's right to build a snowman. We look up, and that star's left, and it's gone. Maybe we'll have a dream. Or maybe we'll see a vision. No, not those miraculous kinds. Just like our elders here, they have dreams. They have visions of what they want this congregation to be. And when we had the men's meeting in the back, and we decided that we're going to have a bus. We're going to have a church bus. And it wasn't, they wasn't purchased that it might look good sitting out in front. It wasn't purchased where people would drive by and say, look at the tiny church. Boy, what a nice bus they got. No, they had a vision, they had a dream that this would be used, that this congregation might grow, that people might be served, the poor fed, the lost saved. That's a dream. We all have dreams like that. Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, in verse 59, talks about a man who followed Jesus for a while. He followed him a little way, and he was deeply interested in what the Lord had to say. Perhaps he saw a picture of what he might be if he would only take up the cross and follow after this great teacher, this Son of God, and he'd have the good life that Jesus would promise to him. If you would just lose your life for my sake, you're going to gain it. You're going to have heaven as your home. And he said, I will follow you, but first, Robert, I remember, I believe you come to Point Mallard one time several years ago, and he preached a sermon called Me First. And the sermon that he preached, of course, was, he gave some illustrations I remember very well of railroad crossings in India. And he said when a train would come and you'd pull up like this on one side and one on the other side, pretty soon you'd have people on both sides. And they were trying to get across the railroad track first. That was their attitude. Well, you know, we in the church sometimes are like that. Things get a little tough, does it not? We built a snowman and things are not going too good. We're short financially. Me first. Let the church suffer. Me first. Let the lost still be lost. You serve me. And don't you worry about anybody else. You let me build my snowman. And you mind your own business. Yes, the dream, the vision that our elders have is that this congregation would be full of people. People who would love one another. People who would lift up one another. People who would encourage one another. That would make our road to heaven so much easier. And yet sometimes we build snowmen for the detriment of the work of the Lord's church. Some of us seem to think that if we can't say something good, we won't say anything. But I submit to you that you can find some good in every soul that graces the pews of this congregation. You can find good. Don't be a snowman and look for the dark side. Build up this congregation. Let's not be guilty of building these snowmen. He said, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me first bury my father. And Jesus' answer was very clear. He said, you let the dead bury the dead and you come and follow me now. What the Lord is saying is you choose now the most important part. The Lord tells me this very moment, you choose now, Richard, what's the most important part? Thing. What's the most important of my life? He's saying, choose now. It was back in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua. I believe it's in about, chapter 20, 25 or somewhere along in there, 24 and verse 15, I think it is. The question is put, choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to choose? Are you going to choose over here building this snowman that's soon going to be gone? Are you going to build your hopes and your plans and your dreams and your visions on the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't have mistaken magnitudes. Don't think some of these things that we get tied up in are such great things that we neglect. What's the most important part? Mistaken magnitude is ever a danger in our lives. Perhaps we see something that we think of such magnitude that we're justified in turning aside, although we have our wagon hitched to the star of our dreams. And then later, too late, we see the mistake that we've made. Let me make this live a little bit with a true incident. Margaret Sanger was the director of a Goodwill center in, I believe it was in a large city, Baltimore, I believe it was. And she said in that business she had, or whatever it was, the Goodwill business, that she had a lot of kids in there, and there was a little boy that kept coming in, and his feet was crippled, and one foot was turned almost around, and he would stand and watch the boys play baseball, and he'd watch them play basketball, and things like that. He had a heart. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to do that more than anything else. And Miss Singer said that she got with some people, and the doctors said, "We'll fix the young boy. You get somebody to help pay the hospital bills. We do the work for nothing. It won't cost anything." Well, she went to see some banker friends, and they agreed, we'll pay for everything that can be done for the boy. It was success. She said he would come in later, and he'd be jumping and dancing around and turning around. He was so happy. And one of the people sitting in the front held up a hand and said, "Well, whatever happened to the young man?" She said, you'll never guess. One said, "Well, is he a banker?" "No, he's not a banker." "Governor of a state?" No, he's not a governor. "Is he a senator? Is he a lawyer?" No. "Well, what become of him?" And she said, "He's in prison for a crime so heinous that one for his age that surely put him to death." Someone said, "What happened?" And she said, "I spent so much time teaching the boy to walk and forgot to tell him where to walk." That's important. It's important to walk. But it's also important to know where to walk. Don't be caught up building snowmen, caught up in these magnitudes that are so big in our hearts, and we don't do our God-given duty, our God-given responsibility. There's ever a cross pull in a heart. One of my favorite sermons, the cross pull between the good and the bad, God's word and our instincts on one another. We always have that cross pull in our hearts. But the prophet is telling us there's nothing in this whole world more important than spending your time doing your God-given assignment. The first order of business in my life and in your life is saving your immortal soul. Mistaken magnitudes have doomed so many people down through the ages. The second point is the danger of the convenient. A noted religious speaker was making a speech on one occasion, and after it was over, he opened the floor to for questions, and as a hand shot up and said, "A preacher, what is the greatest enemy of Christianity today?" "Is it Buddhism?" he was asked. "No." "Is it Mohammedism?" "No." "Secularism?" "No." "Islam?" "No." "The greatest enemy of Christianity today," he said, "was convenientism." He said, "I even had to make a word for that, convenientism." Oh, we're always waiting for the more convenient time, are we not? We'd do more work if it's just more convenient, right? If I live right next door to the church building, it's always sunny, it'd be so convenient for me to be here. If I had millions of dollars in the bank, it would be convenient for me to give as I've been prospering. Sometimes we're caught up in this danger of the convenient. You ask me to do something, if it's convenient, I don't want to do it. If it's not convenient, rather, I don't want to do it. But if it's convenient, count me in. That's the way most of us church members are. Most of us are building snowmen. We wait for a more convenient time. I'd be a soul winner if it was more convenient. I would attend all the services if it was more convenient. I would study my Bible more if it was convenient. I'd help feed the poor if it was more convenient. I'd help the needy. But brothers and sisters, I am too busy building snowmen that will not last. That will not last. Later, when it's more convenient, call on me. I know I do not intend to stand before God unprepared. I know you don't intend to do that. But it could be with Felix of long ago. They say, some more convenient time. I will send for you. I will do my duty, my responsibility. Several years ago, the Orange Grove congregation over in Lawrence County. I worked for that congregation until I went into full-time work. And we had some people in that congregation that it wasn't building snowmen, they were working. And we knocked on a bunch of doors, and we set up a bunch of Bible classes, and we baptized several people. But there was one man who expressed a desire more than anything. I want to study the Bible. But evidently, we didn't find the time, or it wasn't convenient for us to get to him, and the man died before we could teach him the gospel of Christ. Some of us were building snowmen, and I'm guilty as they are. We should have got to him. We thought he'd live forever. We thought we had plenty of time. But if it had been more convenient, Paul, we might have done it. You know, I believe that there's a line that is drawn, Romans 1:28. And we cross over, there may be no turning back. Let's do the things that are convenient and the things that are not convenient. Let us put our shoulders to the wheel. Let us stand behind our elders. Let us hold up their hands and let us encourage them. Let us encourage our deacons. Let us encourage our Bible class teachers. And let us encourage each one of us who sit in a pew each Lord's Day and support this congregation in any way that we can. The danger of the convenient, building snowmen. And the last point I want to make is the danger of the immediate. It's so easy to forget the ultimate in the hot pursuit or the press of the immediate. We get so absorbed in the things that are present, we don't take the long look. As the old saying says that sometimes we can't see the forest for the one tree that we're standing too close to it. We stand too close to it, we can't see the forest. I know that Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Better is the end. And the Greek word, as I looked it up here, better simply means there's things of more value, of more importance, and more precious waiting down the road. Let's don't get caught up in the immediate. Some examples. Well, Thor of Austin. The art world paid a huge price because he didn't consider the long range. Esau sold his birthright because he was hungry. He didn't see the long range. He didn't see the ultimate. He was only concerned with the immediate. And sometimes we want to fill up our hearts and our minds and our souls with things that's going to pass. And we never look at down the end of the road. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Esau sold that birthright. But before we condemn him, haven't we all at one time or another wanted something so badly that maybe we mortgaged the future to satisfy the present? I bought a Buick once. It's a mistake I made. Abraham and Lot in Genesis 13. Abraham said, our families are too big to live here together. We're going to have to split up. He says to Lot, over here are the hills. They're barren. Here's the valley, and it's lush. Now, Lot, maybe he knew what was ahead for him in the future. Maybe he could see those cities, those sinful cities in the distance. But the present time is all he cared about. He saw that there was grass and there were things to sustain his flocks and support his family. He didn't think about what might end up down the road, being in the position that he was in. Besides, he would say, you know, that's a long way off. In Luke 16, the story of the prodigal son, you know, he was a mistake that he made. He was satisfying the immediate. He didn't think about the ultimate. He wasn't thinking about the time when he would come to himself and he'd be in a hog pen feeding hogs. He didn't think about the time that when his friends would turn their backs upon him. He was only thinking about, I want what's got coming to me and I want it now. We're so much like that. We're so much like that. We fall for that so many times. You know, the rich young farmer said, you know, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build me some bigger barns and I'm going to fill them things up and I'm going to sit back and I'm going to eat, say to my soul, you know, you eat, drink, and be merry. He wasn't thinking about the ultimate, was he? Satisfy me now. Give me what I want now. You fill up my hopper now and not be concerned about what's in the future. I can give you some examples from my own personal relationships. A young man came to me and he said, I don't love my wife anymore and I don't want to live with her. And I know that God would want me to be happy, and I want happiness now. And he divorced her. Later on, he said the biggest mistake he ever made. He was settling for the immediate without any concern of what the ultimate was. A young lady at Point Mallard came to me once and said, and I knew him well. Fine young son, three young teenage boys, just as good a family as ever seen. She said, I want to talk to you. I want to be happy, and I'm not happy with my husband. I'm not happy with him. And she divorced him. You see, they were settling for the immediate and not worrying about the ultimate. They had fallen for the present at the expense of the future. But like I say, before we condemn them, just quickly take a look at the few pages of our life. Think about your life. Haven't we been guilty sometimes of the very same thing? These dangers are real, my friends. Let us not be building snowmen. There is the danger of mistaken magnitudes. There is the danger of the convenient. And there is the danger of the immediate. In 1 Kings rather 19 and 9, God asked Isaiah a question. And that's a question that we could ask each one of ourselves. What are you doing here? Are you mistaking the magnitudes in life? Are you just settling for the convenient? Or the immediate? Listen to the rest of the passage from Isaiah 55. And then the lesson is yours. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord. Well, he may be found. Call upon him, the writer says, while he is near. Do not be busy here and there building snowmen and lose your soul in the process. the song of encouragement has been selected. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, let your request be made known as we stand and as we sing.